And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I can't say what I'm laughing.
I can't say what I'm laughing at either. I don't want to say it.
Brooklyn and Philadelphia are not engaged in anything meaningful, I'm told.
Saw that statue move.
Sure looks lifelike.
It's almost as if I could hear that hateful Brooklyn laugh.
Point of contention.
I don't know about the reports.
Do you enjoy New York City?
Yeah.
I'm the old shit. Look at this. Man, I can walk. Jesus. Praise Jesus. I appreciate this. Oh, this is beautiful. I can't believe. Thank you. I don't know what to do with.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. You are not wanted. The Celtics on fire. The Suns, best team in the NBA. It's buyout season with a Z. And Giannis, the three-time MVP. Happy Cabbage Day, everybody. I'm Zach Harper. Jade Hoy is producing in this corner from the hard streets of Springfield, Mass. Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book, Mr. Softy, A Guide to Growing Up in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. It's Jay, the kid of Peloton King. Jay, we've got Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, your favorite Super Bowl halftime performer. Oh, also Kendrick Lamar. Can't forget him.
Kendrick Lamar had the best performance. 50 Cent hanging upside down while Chunky was the best moment of the whole thing. Whoever decided, you know what, we've got to have him hang upside down was just wild. It's I know he was dizzy as hell. I know he was hurting upside down. Mm-hmm. And he's just not built for that anymore. Like, at one point in his life, yes, that was him. I know his music video had that in it. But not live, yeah,
that,
not in the year
20 years ago.
Like,
that was 20 years ago.
They should have wiped that out. The choreographer needed to nix that one. What happened in the rehearsal? They must have been looking at that like, man.
They had them pit balls beneath him, so he could just fall.
Yeah, this is going to go viral. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that foam thing that you do at the trampoline park or whatever, it had to have been that. Yeah. All right. In this corner, Bay Area legend, author of two books. By the way, Jay, you were wrong. It was Snoop. He was the best. Author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, Dynasties. The 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever. The one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, your favorite halftime performer?
Easily Snoop. Easily Snoop. That's how you perform when you old. You know what I'm saying? Forget all the... Mm-hmm. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, it was engaging, right? It was it was captivating.
It also wasn't him. I mean, it was him, but
it
like
was, no, it was like the choreography. It was the rhythmation of it all, right?
Snoop's not doing that. That's why we just like about to do our thing.
Yeah, he just keeps the hands high.
We go two step. We go have my little bandana sweatsuit on. Like we chilling, man. Everybody else all dressed up. That dude had on a
smoking weed on the side before it starts. Like he knew what he was doing.
That's how you do it when you old. You don't hang upside down like trying to be 25 again. That's not great.
Also, love the revelation from people like, oh, Snoop got high before the performance. Of course he did. It's Snoop. It wasn't that he got high. It was the way he got high.
Like, what, he was sneaking it?
Yeah, like sneaking it, like leaning over. Like that was the funny part. Of course he was going to get high. But, he looked like a teenager, like trying to hide it from his parents.
He looked like that time Westbrook was hiding food on the bench. That's what it looked like.
That's exactly what it was, right? Yep.
All right, that fulfills the banter portion of this podcast rundown. Jade, start the clock. Take one. You two, TWO, are not wanted. Lord have mercy, when is this shit gonna end?
This is not my kind of guy.
Following the blockbuster trade between the Sixers and the Nets, the inevitable Inside the Trade story was released vis-a-vis Bleacher Report. According to Bleacher, the Nets, led by Kevin Durant, had issues with James Harden's effort level, conditioning, accountability, and attitude, and Harden grew frustrated by the team's playing style and Kyrie Irving's refusal to be vaccinated. Jade, burn the sage!
Here's the bottom line about Harden.
Okay.
Can you play in an NBA final? Yeah. He did once, he was bad. Can he make a big play and do some nice things in a conference final?
Yeah.
Do we all forget about Game 7 against Golden State when he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean? He bailed on you, Jerry West bailed on the Lakers when they lost the Celtics year after year.
Oh,
did
God.
Did Bird bail? I mean, Durant bailed, but at least he helped Golden State win a championship, for crying out loud.
I mean, but you're looking at her as if that's the one.
So you're going to tell me Harden's great
now? You have to look at me, okay? I'm the person that you got to debate with. That's number one.
The rift reportedly began as early as training camp when Durant was disappointed by Harden's conditioning. Welcome to James Harden, KD. Tensions also arose from on-the-court decisions as well. This guy has been playing his way into shape for 9 fucking years, KD.
He
what
came
are you doing?
From the club.
What are you
like,
paying
he literally,
attention to?
He showed up to camp from the club.
Like, that's all
the best part. The best part of that story was the idea that Nets players were pissed off that Harden was going clubbing and
God.
What do you mean?
These weren't just internet stories, guys. All right, hold on. According to the report, Brooklyn coaches witnessed Harden roll his eyes when plays following timeouts were designed for Durant. And get this, guys. The often enabled James Harden also had frustrations with Kyrie and the team's enabling of Irving. Who writes this stuff? Yada yada, where to even begin on this one? Let's just start with the TNT All-Star selections on live TV last week with LeBron and KD picking everyone but James Harden. Jade, play that tape.
So James Harden goes to LeBron James as the final selection of the All-Star draft.
Shaq.
He hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played. What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He's missed the last three with a hammy. See, and now we know why LeBron carries a clipboard with him to the draft.
Hey, LeBron, oh my God, trust me right now, he's rubbing some ice hot on that thing. He's playing the next game.
Marcus, is this trade between the Nets and the 76ers basically a swap of the two most unwanted players in the NBA?
No. Rudy Gobert is in that mix. said two of the three, maybe.
Come on.
I do feel like there's some, I don't know. It feels like there's a part of Ben Simmons that if he's with the guy, because he's going to play D, not demand shots, he's never going to roll his eyes when a play is going for Durant, right? Like, so that seems to make him a little bit more amenable as a teammate, even though he's definitely got the diva tendencies. I just feel like a guy who's going to play D, pass the ball, is by and large a better teammate than a dude who wants the shot every time. But if this fourth quarter thing happens again, they're going to roll their eyes at him so tough, right? Like, so he's definitely in the bottom five of those players, just because you just don't want a guy on your team who you don't think is built like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, but he only has one occurrence. So I'm going to give him that. He's got some redeeming value left.
He can still,
Ben. Come on. If Ben hits a fourth quarter shot,
this dude he's going to be like,
I told y'all it was Philly.
This dude's been running from the fourth quarter like he's Harrison Ford, and the fourth quarter is Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. Like, he has been running from that quarter for like 5 years.
Give me all the keys, sir.
To me.
Where are those keys at?
I don't know.
Care to revise your statement, sir?
What?
Do you want to change your bullshit story, sir?
But I'm saying, if he does it with the Nets, then it was Philly. It was Philly.
Okay. So then you can blame Philly.
Now if he does it with the Nets, now it's like you can't blame nobody else. You know, whereas Harden, we've seen this twice now.
So blame Furkan Korkmaz. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's all on a Joel, right?
It's all on Joel and Furkan. I just like saying Furkan. Jay, where are you on the resolution of the story, or maybe there's still more stuff that's going to come out? I don't know.
It's just more proof that the Nets from the start were doomed to fail. It didn't have to be a vaccine that Kyrie refused to take. It didn't have to be Kevin Durant getting mad at James Harden for showing up out of shape. These three guys were never going to stay together and on the same page. It just wasn't going to happen. And it's too bad it wasn't going to happen, because they played some of the most beautiful basketball of the last decade, some of the most beautiful basketball probably in NBA history, and they just could not stay together. They were not destined to stay together. Mm-hmm. If you're getting mad at James Harden for showing up out of shape, if you're getting mad at James Harden
for flying to Vegas
or going to the club or whatever,
that's
just all part of the package. That's the guy you wanted your team to trade for. That's the guy you wanted to play with. Like, you can't then get upset when James Harden is James Harden. It's just not how it works.
It's like getting mad at LeBron for going to the Super Bowl. Right when the Lakers are losing,
he should not have been tweeting about how the Lakers should be part of the parade with the Dodgers. Like, bro, you won that championship.
He didn't get a parade, bro.
You're not making a parade. Nobody wants you at the parade. You're like 26-30, whatever it is. Nobody wants you in the parade.
Also, out of those three teams, the Rams have the only legitimate championship. So I don't know what we're doing here.
Like, the Dodgers title wasn't legit?
No, it's a 50-game season. No, bubble champs. Yeah, get out of here, man. Their player had COVID.
He called him Title Town, right? Like, you're playing town, bro.
I want my championship parade in L.A. too, by the way.
No, man, no. All right, look, I'm going to go on a little L.A. rant here, okay? As the only person in this podcast that lives there, I never want the Super Bowl back here again, ever.
I bet it was terrible, fucked up
my town. Like, it was awful. And the Olympics are coming in a little bit, and it's going to be terrible. It's going to be so bad. I'm gonna have to move away for that month. Marcus, I'm gonna come live with you for a month, because I can't do it.
You should Airbnb that joint.
The Make Super Bowl ruined actually. The Bay. Yeah, the Bay was loot. A disaster when the Super Bowl was here.
Awful. So you don't want the Super Bowl in your city. You just don't. It ruined the entire.
Especially if your city is already kind of bustling, right?
We already got traffic, man. Yeah, we don't need that. Yeah, it was awful, awful. Fun time though. Congratulations to the Rams on your pseudo relevant and semi fraudulent championship. All right, Jade.
Why does everybody's championship got to be fraudulent?
Celtics on fire.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We started, just caught that interception. Celtics on fire. Meanwhile, on Tuesday in Philadelphia, James Harden was introduced to Philadelphia fans wearing what I believe, I guess, was a suit or some kind of video game villain outfit, or someone mentioned if it looked like if they just like if someone tried to make their own clothing.
Sure. So as not to enrage him to stealing the jewels.
Or else this whole thing could be a trick to divert us from his real intentions.
Holy red herring.
Or I don't know. Like Lego clothes? Is that a thing where you just attach arms to a blazer?
He looked like he robbed a homeless man on the way to the gym.
He just
stole his clothes.
He looked like Mortimer had made a bet that he couldn't turn this man's life around for $1. Like, that's what it looked like. And he rang in the new era by banging a miniature Liberty Bell.
James Harden!
I like that Liberty Bell story, man. I've done some stories for you.
He dressed up as Hancock for Halloween in February.
Marcus was ragging his brain for that one, too. He was thinking about that one for like 2 minutes.
He went to Philadelphia as a Kingdom Hearts character, if you've played that video game. It's a great reference. However, the night did not go according to plan as the Celtics blew out the Sixers. Well, hold on, Jade. I think this is a typo. It couldn't have been 135-87. That would be an embarrassing amount of points to lose by. The Celtics' ninth straight win. Fun fact. They have four wins by more than 30 points during this streak alone. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 57 on just 24 shots. The C's now slowly making their way up a very crowded and competitive Eastern Conference. They were top 10 in my power rankings on The Athletic this week. It was not the kiss of death, you son of a bitch, Jay King. And it will make for a very interesting playoffs. Good luck to all the gamblers out there. By the way, Boston has the league's second best defense, giving up just 105 points per 100 possessions. They did, however, lose Marcus Smart to an ankle injury in this one, so we'll have to check his status. Jay, the Celtics made some nice moves at the trade deadline. I love the Derek White pickup, love the Daniel Tice pickup, and really seem to be finding their groove at the All-Star break. It appears for now everybody is buying in. So can this team surprise everyone, make a deep run in the playoffs?
They're going to be a tough playoff out because their defense is just loaded. They have zero weak links. Over the last 3 weeks since Marcus Smart came back from health and safety protocols, they're giving up 94.7 points per 100 possessions. Ooh. Like, they are just lapping every other defense in the league. And some of that came against bad opponents. Some of it came against opponents like the 76ers, missing somebody very important. But that defense is real, and that defense is going to be tough to score on no matter who they play. And just the brand of basketball is different. I watched them, and I'm like, these are not the same jabronis I was watching earlier in the season.
Right.
Going, falling three games under 500. Everyone was wondering, should they break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Now the ball is whipping around. Guys are finding their teammates. It's like just totally different night and day from where they were a month ago. And it's a wild turnaround, just a crazy in-season turnaround from a team that was really lifeless for parts of the season.
Marcus, I'm going to give you four teams here in the East, okay? The Sixers, the Bulls, the Cavs, and the Celtics. Who is best built to make a deep run?
Celtics. Whoa. No, Bulls. I'm going Bulls.
Whoa.
Nah, I don't know.
Not the
defense,
Sixers?
Defense, definitely. I got to see James Harden first. Like, I have to, like, literally
watch it. You saw him last night. That's how it looks.
I have to watch it first. I think they'll be great if James Harden
is
great.
Do we think the Sixers were protesting his outfit, and that's why they got blown out by 50?
I think the Steph Curry loss is pretty big.
They're ruthless.
And I want to see Harden and Maxey together. Like, to me, they've got some things to figure out, I think. Right. But the Celtics defense and DeMar DeRozan's clutchness, like, those things, that's how you make the run, right? When a dude gets hot or a defense just locks in. But I do think while Boston's defense has clearly like been incredible, I think it's a bit of offense, and I think they had a bit of addition by subtraction.
Yep.
Because somebody's gone, and suddenly, like, the ball is not sticking.
Bruno Fernando really going to take hits here, huh? Like, this is young man just saying, is just trying to be a big man in this league.
I'm just saying, suddenly during the streak, like, Derek White is taking the third most shots, and this thing is working.
I've been trying to tell you guys that Dennis Schroeder sucks for a while. I've been trying to tell you guys nobody wants to play with Dennis Schroeder, and, you know, it's just always like, oh, no, he could be a nice addition now, man. Nobody wants to play with him.
In his defense, he was pretty good for the Celtics when they were shorthanded early in the season. He shot like 36% when he was coming off the bench this year. And especially lately, it was like the team was moving in one direction toward ball movement and player movement, and Dennis was staying in the same place. he was not a part of that. And so I do think they were not too broken up about moving on from him at the trade deadline.
Yeah, nobody was mad when he left Atlanta. Nobody was mad when he left OKC. Nobody here in LA was mad when he left. Like, no one in Boston's going to be mad that he's gone. Like,
it's crazy because they signed him to a deal that it was like, you have to sign Dennis Schroeder at that price.
Yeah, for sure.
And he still didn't live up to the contract. And they would have been better off not paying him that contract.
Man, he'd be a wizard right now, wouldn't he? If he had taken that extension, because they still would have traded him as part of that Russell Westbrook deal, right?
Poor Dennis.
Imagine, poor
Dennis.
Poor Wizards fans. Poor Dennis. Oh, yeah. I mean, poor Dennis, too. Yeah. Marcus, with the Celtics team, I'm a big fan of just, like, teams having an identity, right? Like, whether I think that they can make a deep run or not, they have to have an identity. The Celtics do have an identity right now. And so I do wonder if the offense can catch up enough to make them truly dangerous in the East.
Yeah. But that defense, I mean, I imagine we can expect that they won't be the greatest defense of all time for the rest of the season, but they'll find
right.
They clearly are capable. So you play defense like that, you're going to be in playoff games. And if you're in playoff games and you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I mean, you got a puncher's chance.
Those series are going to be awful, by the way. They're going to be so ugly to watch. They're going to be so ugly.
It's
going to be brutal.
It's going
to
be 90s Eastern Conference basketball.
I already feel bad for Jay. Yeah,
Eastern Conference basketball. And then it's going to come down to me to like, well, see, here's the kind of like, you know, the juxtaposition of the Eastern Conference kind of second tier teams. Like, Chicago won't play any defense, and they'll. Faultless offense, right? You just cook Vooch on everything, but then DeMar will go off in the fourth quarter and they'll win the game, right? Like,
Marcus and I were texting during a Celtics Bulls game earlier this season because they were just the both teams. Like, one side was going right at Al Horford and the other side was going right at Vucevic down the stretch, and nobody could stop anybody because they were just picking these two apart. It was so funny.
Vucevic is the number one. He's the leader in the league at surviving. Man, he'll give up 3 points. And he'll go back down and he'll get that 3-point play. Like, he give up a boogie, he's like, nah, buddy.
No, he's definitely the walking dead on defense. Like, he's just gonna find a way to survive the defense. All right, take three. The Suns are on fire. Out west, the quiet Suns continue to separate themselves from the pack. They are the best team in basketball. Just check out my power rankings on The Athletic. The Suns at 47-10. Have won 6 straight games in 17 of their past 18 to build a 5.5 game lead over the Golden State Warriors in the battle for home court advantage throughout the postseason. They beat the Clippers 103-96 on Tuesday night. Devin Booker, 26 points. Chris Paul, 17 points, 14 assists. They played the Rockets last night, but we're recording this prior to game time, but it's the Suns against the Rockets. I think we know what happened. The Suns' biggest strength? They don't have a weakness. They are the only team with a top 5 offense and defense. They're extremely versatile on both ends. Chris Paul has this team humming, and man, it has been a quiet run. Chris Paul hardly mentioned MVP conversation. Also, Devin Booker hardly mentioned in MVP conversation. Marcus, are we sleeping on the Suns juggernaut?
I would say yes, but for the right reasons. They're a great team. And, you know, this time of year is where we focus on individuals. Like, that's just what it is, right? And while I think Booker is kind of being slept on from an MVP perspective, like if you watch them, you can see like that dude is the best player on that team. And the best player on the best team in the NBA is usually gets more MVP buzz than Booker. But what makes them great is, bruh, like this is a machine with like nine parts that run harmoniously, and it's running on like electricity and not gas, right? It just feels super smooth. It's quiet, and they just click. I feel like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, I feel like they never miss a corner three. And yeah. Jay Crowder makes every shot he needs to make. Like Chris Paul gets to every spot he wants to. DeAndre Ayton doesn't miss ever, right?
That was such a backhanded compliment. Hold on. We got to break this down. Jay Crowder makes every shot he needs to make. That's still saying he can't shoot, but every once in a while, knock down a big shot.
When they need a bucket, that dude, man, he is money. It's like, yo, when he needs a bucket.
It's like, oh, man, he looks really good for him. You know, like this, like, oh, yeah, you look good for you tonight. Like, that's one of those compliments. He shoots like
34% from three, but I promise you, it's like 60 when they need that three, when they need that momentum three. Like, he's money on those. They just hum, and that's the reason we don't pay attention to them, because nobody's doing anything incredible. They're all just doing their part, and it works perfectly together.
Yeah, Jay, I think part of the reason for the Devin Booker lack of MVP discussion, we'll get an MVP in a little bit, but I think part of it is just that it's such a crowded field. Right. Like everyone, like it's such a crowded field that you can't fit in everybody. Like we've had seven candidates before at various points in the season at one time. And I don't think Devin was even in that. Right. Like this is just a deep field. But this team is, as Marcus said, they're just a machine.
Yeah. Every other team is like teenagers, you know, like they're going to make mistakes. They're going to go out, do something stupid. They're going to go out and get bad grades and try to hide their midterm report card from their parents.
Stop snitching on yourself, bro.
This is oddly specific examples here, Jay. I just, you know, this is...
Maybe they're
my man is out here having...
Photoshop the report card.
Going through some PTSD here, right?
Seduce the teacher.
Yeah. Are you going through a scrapbook? What's going on?
But the Suns...
Seduce the teacher.
The Suns are adults. They do what they're supposed to do. They take care of their business, and when it comes down to it, they get a good shot, and they do the right thing on defense every single time. Their execution down the stretch is just silly. They are just destroying teams in crunch time. I think they're 23-3 in games that have crunch time, which is just ridiculous. Like, one of the best records of all time.
You know what they are? So you're right. They're 23-3. Their net rating in clutch situations, plus 46.4 points per 100 possessions.
And they shoot 60% in clutch time.
It's not a fluke.
They have a 70% true shooting.
How do you shoot 60% in clutch time? Like,
it's ridiculous.
It's not a fluke. Like, people say, yeah, the numbers in crunch time, you know, it's kind of lucky. It can go either way. It normally goes based on how good your team is. If you're a good team, you'll be good in crunch time. No, like those dudes just pick it up to a level that nobody else has been able to this season. And if you're looking for a reason why they should be a championship favorite, that's it. Because when it matters, when they need to get something done, they get it done.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. Like, I definitely... They're by far the leader in the clubhouse to win a championship to me. Like, they're the team I would pick over anybody right now. Maybe I can be talked to the Warriors if Draymond's back is healthy, but I have some real concerns about that. I just think the Suns team's by far the best team in basketball.
I'd put the Bucks up there too.
I would say the Bucks. If you're going
with title favorites,
I'd probably pick Phoenix, but it would be mostly.
I just think the Bucks have a harder road, right? Like, the East is just way tougher than the West is for once.
We don't know if the Bucks have a harder road, because we haven't seen Brooklyn and we haven't seen Philly. And it's possible those teams are awesome. But I think it's possible that both those teams
aren't
at the level that maybe...
Don't count out the culture. Don't do it. You know why? Because I got a little surprise for you. Take four. Buyout season. With the NBA trade deadline behind us, we can all focus our attention on buyout season as contenders put some finishing touches on their rosters heading down the stretch. On Tuesday, speaking of culture, Goran Dragic and San Antonio Spurs agreed to a buyout, which means he's now free and should have plenty of potential suitors. It's been reported the Lakers, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Bulls, the Bucks, and the Nets were expected to show interest. Guys, yeah, someone mysteriously missing from these reports is the city that he's just happened to been in this entire time that he has been waiting to be bought out with the Miami Heat. So I'm not saying he's going to sign there. I'm just saying it's a little too quiet on that front. We also have other notable names out there. Maybe a John Wall, maybe an Eric Bledsoe, Dennis Schroeder, Robin Lopez, among others. Jay, put your imaginary GM hat on. What team needs what player heading down the stretch to get into the playoffs?
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Everybody needs Gary Harris. Like, everybody needs
that Gary would be Harris. A great pickup, man.
And here's the thing, too. Like, when Gary Harris was on a contender, he really wasn't making a difference for that contender.
No, in the bubble, he came back, and what is it like? He started defending Donovan Mitchell, and Donovan like at least stopped dropping 50 every game. You know,
he was Gary Harris can defend. I'm just saying the buyout market year after year is an absolute bust. There's hardly ever anyone. There's hardly ever anyone that makes a difference. It's like every once in a while you'll get lucky, and like Joe Johnson will show up and have a good game or two in the playoffs, but. Other than that, buyout candidates are typically not helpful at all. But Gary Harris is one of them that I think could make a difference in a rotation.
All right, you might be right just because I Googled just now the best buyout signings in NBA history, and the cover photo is a picture of Derek Fisher. So you might you might be right.
Like
Blake Griffin last year, he was pretty good for the Nets.
He bucked the trend. He was very helpful for the Nets for a couple months before.
Boris Diaw for the Spurs.
Yeah, I mean every once in a while, like you've got two names over the last decade. PJ Brown, yeah, way back in the day, made
number
like
one,
two shots.
Number one on this list, and I don't know if this is an accurate list, but number one is Derek Fisher in 2012. Number two is Boris Diaw in 2012. Number three is Chris Anderson in 2013. It's been a while. But
Birdman was helpful.
Birdman was great. Birdman was helpful. Oh my God.
8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Yeah, Birdzilla, man.
You think Tyreek is coming back?
Oh, Tyreek is back, right? He got reinstated. I don't know if I would pick him up to like help my team. Like, who knows what kind of shape he's in? But Mark is like, maybe Tyreek Evans is like the big prize after
Goran Dragic, or Robin Lopez.
Robin Lopez would be a huge addition if the Magic buy him out. Did they buy him out? I don't know if they did yet.
I don't know if they did yet, but
I think we got a couple of weeks.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
like this could really have some impact on the actual playoffs. I mean, I think the Warriors are gonna stand pat, but it's getting a little restless out here in the Bay. People want to see a big man. They're rocking with Kevon Looney and Nemanja Bjelica as the centers.
Professor Big Shots. Professor Big Shots. When's James Wiseman coming back? Where's James Wiseman?
James Wiseman is he's doing some stuff against no defenders. He's got some 505. He's been clear for 505 action. Probably you'll see him and Draymond at some point after the break. They have to because they just don't have anybody. And if they go and get a Robin Lopez, the Bay will be happy about it because people are concerned about their size. But then they might just double down on small ball and go get like a Goran Dragic and get another ball handler.
If they sign Robin Lopez, I'm going to have to move to the Bay Area for the rest of the season just to be around Klay Thompson and Robin Lopez all the time. That's a buddy combination that I need to experience.
On a boat? Let's go.
If you thought Klay and Zaza was great, wait till I replace Zaza with Robin Lopez.
I'm here for Robin Lopez trying to show Klay Thompson the hook shot in practice. Like, that's going down.
Robin Lopez shows up, changes James Wiseman's career, turns him into the next Kareem. It could happen.
It could happen, for sure. We'll need Fred Katz to come chronicle the whole thing because he was on the Robin Lopez beat more than anyone I've ever seen talk about any player.
More than anyone ever has ever been on the Robin Lopez beat.
Yeah, more than when Pedro Gomez always had to report on what Barry Bonds was doing, right? Like I've never seen someone report on a player so much as Fred Katz with Robin Lopez.
I don't think there's been more coverage on either Lopez brother than what Katz has done with Robin Lopez. Mm-mm.
No, like, that's the pinnacle right there. Yeah, that's Robin Lopez, by the way, former teammate of Giannis on the Bucks, and brings me to take five. Giannis, the 3-time MVP, which, by the way, that was my prediction prior to the season. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 50 points on 17 of 21 shooting. 17 of 21. Pacers, get a hand up. Tuesday night to lead the Bucks to a 128-119 victory over the Indiana Pacers. The 21 attempts were the fourth fewest in a 50-point game in NBA history. Giannis, just the ninth player ever to score 50-plus points while shooting at least 80% from the field. With the 50-point performance on Tuesday, Giannis now leads the NBA in scoring average at 29.4 points per game. Marcus, BetMGM has Giannis third in the MVP race at plus 375. Jokic is 350. And Joel Embiid, I meant plus 350. He's not 350 pounds. He didn't gain that weight back. And Joel Embiid is plus 150. Marcus, you've got, let's say, $1,000 of James Edward III's James Harden fit budget. Okay? Who you got?
Hold on, of James Harden's fit budget?
Yes. You know how James Edwards III has been trying to dress like James Harden? Yes. He's got that evident last night when James Harden showed up to Philadelphia.
He ripped it off some dude on the side of the road.
Holy statue!
Exactly, Robin. That doesn't mean that someone couldn't break out.
I'm telling you. Maybe he borrowed it from James Edwards III.
Don't put that evil on James.
I'm putting James $1,000 on Giannis, and he will go sleeveless. Wow. He won't have money for sleeves. who is better at the league and just absolutely destroying bad defense than Giannis? Remember he got 40, the easiest 44 you'll ever see against the Lakers? If you don't guard this dude, he's going to put up a crazy number on you. And then we're going to talk about it. And next thing you know, the Bucks are going to be the number two team in the East, and he's got 50 and 40 and 55 because that dude will absolutely, he has no mercy on bad defense at all. You give him a driving lane, he's taking it every time. And don't let him be making his threes. Oh, if he's making his threes, he's going for it. Unlike the other night where Steph makes his first six shots and gets pulled, and he's telling Steve Kerr, I'm hot. Like, Steph, sit down. You got to run your minutes. Giannis is like, nobody. I am rolling. I'm getting
up. I got
it,
yeah.
I'm torching this team. So, I'm going with Giannis. They're number three in the East right now. Chicago, they can get number two. They can look up and be number two.
By the by, DeMar DeRozan plus 2,500. I do not hate that. I might put that if I got the $1,000 of James Edwards outfit.
He's been on a run.
Budget.
He plus 2,500,
man. It's the clutchness, man. He creates those moments, dude. Like, he creates MVP moments.
Giannis.
Oh my God.
Giannis has made what he's doing too normal. Like, he's leading the league in
scoring.
That is
a problem, right?
Yeah.
He's leading the league in scoring. He's one of the best defensive players in the world. He's averaging 11 rebounds and 6 assists.
Yeah.
Like, what does this guy have to do to get more MVP buzz? Everyone's talking about Jokic. Everyone's talking about everybody else.
He's won two times. Twice in the last 3 years.
This season, everyone else is getting talked about. DeMar DeRozan is getting talked about. Jokic. Nobody has noticed that Giannis is putting together another run. And he doesn't have the stigma that he had last year. He doesn't have the stink of getting wiped out in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He won the championship, and he mutilated the Suns in the finals
on a 50-point performance to close it out.
Yeah, so this dude should be getting more buzz. He really does just dominate dudes. There must be a no worse feeling than being back in transition as the only guy, and Giannis is coming at you like you're just gonna get demoralized.
Oh, what a
you're
nightmare.
Just gonna get demoralized.
And you can't even lay him out, right? You can't even be like,
no,
because
he's bigger than you. It doesn't matter if you're a center, he's bigger.
Over.
Remember 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he dunked on Ben Simmons, who's 6'10, 250, and was calling him a baby. He's a fucking baby.
Yeah.
6'10, 250. And he's like, this is a child. What are you doing putting this man on me?
Mouse in the house.
Yeah, mouse in the house. 6'10, 250. Like, just like, that's rude. Giannis should be like, look, I'm all for Giannis doing what he's doing. The league at some point has to suspend him for bullying. Like, they just do. Like, we're anti-bully culture.
That's taunting, right?
Like, dunking on you repeatedly is taunting. That should be a flagrant foul after, like, four straight dunks. Like,
he could finger roll that mess, man. Like, you know,
exactly.
He could just...
You could be the big dipper. You could take that from Wilt, you know? Like, you don't have to be so rude all the time. Yeah, we need an anti-bullying campaign just centered around Giannis. It's not nice. It's rude. We're supposed to have manners in this culture. Like, you can't fool us with the dumb joke that you give at every press conference to, like, disarm the media and then just be rude to players on the
just
court
you
constantly dunking on them.
Exactly. Cool,
which also, by the way, was
wings.
Rude. You shouldn't be smacking your lips into a microphone. That's not nice. We got to listen to that stuff
not without
later.
Sharing.
That was Marcus's problem with it.
Like, I want some wings. What's the matter?
And that's the point of contention. That's also going to do it for Point of Contention. Let's get out of here. Make sure you subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. No Dunks. What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle? You've got Warriors Plus Minus. You got Anything Is Potable, Down to Dunk, Blue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and everything else. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and subscribe to the Athletic.
Per request of the Chuckster, I'm going with Fred VanVleet.
There you go.
First-timer.
Oh,
first-timer in his
Well, Katie, I'm going to help Katie out. Katie just needs size right now to me.
Oh,
I think, remember last time LeBron said he needed size
because
he's a 6'2 guy.
He needs size.
Yeah. I'm going to need some size.
Wait. Give me the... This is the whiz-whiz? I got the whiz-whiz.
Whiz-whiz?
Whiz-whiz? That doesn't sound right to me, though.
Whiz-wit.
Whiz-wit?
Whiz-wit.
Whiz-wit?
Yeah,
okay.
Not whiz-whiz.
That doesn't sound right to me. That sounds like it's kind of shaky,
you know
what I'm saying?
Give me that cheesesteak.
Thank you, Dave. What'd you say? Swiss-wit?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.